When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Dynasty Portfolio Weekly, hosted by Scott Connor.
Welcome back onto the trading floor for another episode of Dynasty Portfolio Weekly. This is the post-NFL free agency show. There was not a show last week because there was too much going on, but we are back this week with a lot of takeaways and some early assessments on portfolio goals that I'm trying to hit before we get to the NFL draft. There's a lot of time remaining before we get to the draft, just under 5 weeks until we get to the NFL draft, which means there's not going to be a lot of change between now and then. Sure, there could be a signing or trade or something that happens that maybe shakes up the landscape a little bit, but for the most part, it's just going to be hype. It's going to be pro days. It's going to be more analysis on the prospects. Just more talk of what could happen versus things that have actually happened. So I want to give some actionable things that people can look at for the future, but also look at for their potential changes to their portfolio over the next month or so, and probably bets that you want to consider taking now that we've had a big change of information. So this is going to be a little bit of an extended episode, and I'm going to point out a couple things that we can probably be better at going into next year. We'll start without going through the individual players and their situations. That's not what this show is about. It never has been. This has been about big picture portfolio moves if I'm looking at my teams as a whole. And whether you're in 10 leagues, 20 leagues, 50 leagues, heck, there's some people that are in 100. There's somebody on Sleeper that's in close to 1,000 dynasty leagues. But the idea being, if you're playing this as a portfolio, and go back to listen to some of the previous episodes, you don't have to be in a massive number of leagues to treat things this way. It's more about just looking at these bets for what they are, looking at the time of the year that you're making them, and then understanding where you may have a window to act where you didn't have one before. So we'll just kind of go through some of the names, and I'll just throw them out for everybody, and you tell me what these names had in common. So we'll start with, how about the name Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Marquise Brown, DeAndre Swift, George Pickens, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Derrick Henry, Deontay Johnson, Joe Mixon. Those are 10 names that have all gone up at least 10 spots or higher on Keep Trade Cut over the last 30 days. Derrick Henry, 42 spots. Now at RB18, did he land in a good spot? Sure. But just think about it. Did we think he was going to land in a bad spot? Joe Mixon, now RB20. What a whirlwind it's been with Joe Mixon. There was about a six-hour period where dynasty managers thought the guy would be cut. He would be left out in free agency without a home as all these other running backs find spots to land in. And he wouldn't have one. And then all of a sudden, boom, he gets traded and then he gets a contract extension. And all of a sudden, dynasty managers are now back in. And I don't think it's wrong to play it this way from a running back perspective. Running backs truly, and if you're playing in a portfolio, you know this, you are truly looking at these running backs at a one-year window. They are one-year bets. Joe Mixon is a solid running back. He's nearly a worthless asset if he's not on a team. Think about Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook. How were those guys valued last summer? How were they valued when they didn't have a team to start the season? Think about that. Now, did they still have anything left in the tank? We don't know that yet until they go on the field and show it. But the reality is, unless they're on a team, unless they're projected to get opportunity, that is entirely what's making up their value. Then you have some of these other players, Christian Kirk. Let's see, the team lets Calvin Ridley go and brings in Christian Kirk, or has Christian Kirk on the roster as well, brings in Gabe Davis. What changed with Christian Kirk to cause him to go up 13 spots? Currently 11 spots on keep trade cut up in the last 30 days. What caused that rise? Well, the departure of a receiver that people liked and the addition of a receiver that people liked less. That's it. Probably nothing changed with his actual profile, his quarterback situation, his offense, his opportunity. It's probably all the same. Calvin Ridley, you knew he was going to go somewhere and sign, if not back to Jacksonville. But it's almost like he just moved up because he did something different. He went somewhere else. But even if he would have re-upped with the Jags on a big deal, it's almost like, well, until he does it, we can't move him up. But then when he does, let's move him up 27 spots. It really makes no sense. It really makes no sense when you know these guys are going to be hitting free agency. You know these guys are going to go somewhere. They're not going to not play in the league. So it's just kind of odd, the behavior. Now, I think it's interesting to think about the market value of some of these guys in actual leagues versus what Keep Trade Cut said. And I think that more reflects on the demand for players versus their actual value. You probably weren't buying Calvin Ridley for 20% less a month ago because he was going to hit free agency. You probably weren't buying Derrick Henry two rounds lower in startup cost. You probably weren't buying him for one round lower in rookie draft cost just because he wasn't on a team. And then same with some of these other guys, Deontay Johnson and Hollywood Brown. I'll give those two examples as perfect ones. And you can probably throw Calvin Ridley in there as well, but Deontay and Hollywood Brown, a little disappointing the last couple of years. And hell, throw Ridley in there because I think they're all in the same bucket. A little disappointing, but all three proven good receivers. The numbers back it up. Their Trinity scores back it up. Proven good receivers. Yet, all it takes is some little movement for the three. And I get it. Ridley signs a big contract. Deontay gets traded to a place that has no good receivers. Hollywood Brown goes to the Chiefs. But all of a sudden, their value just shoots up. And it's really not their value shooting up. It's that people want them now. People are more likely to click the button on them when they're in front of them. They're more likely to give up whatever the KTC price is to get them. They're more interested in actually getting those players now than they might have been before. Now, the cost to get them previously probably was the same from the manager that was holding them. If me as the portfolio player is holding Deontay Johnson, which I am, and this is why it's a good example, I have 11 shares of Deontay Johnson, 25.6% of my portfolio. So you do the math on how many leagues that's out of. It's 11 out of 43 leagues that I have Deontay Johnson. I wasn't trading him a month ago. Even though I was overweight, there was no point in trading him. He had leveled off. He didn't know what their quarterback situation was going to be. Nobody really wanted him. Immediately, he was in the bucket of more valuable to my roster than anybody would have traded him for. All of a sudden, he goes to the Panthers. I'm sitting on 11 shares of Deontay Johnson. It's a double whammy because I have a player that's moved, which is now in the news. And one of the themes about what I started the show with was when players are in the news, their demand either goes up or it goes down. But news is a good thing. So stay in tune about who's being talked about. Stay in tune about who is in the news, who is moving, who's a free agent, who's hitting free agency and could re-sign with their teams, who could get traded, who could get cut. This applies to rookies as well. Who's being talked about? Who's being linked to what situations or what teams or what roles could they go to? Pay attention to who is being talked about. That drives, especially as players get smarter in Dynasty. It's not so much the price. The price is very sticky. To pry Derrick Henry from the team that had Derrick Henry, barring they didn't just say, I'm trying to dump him, to actually go and acquire him, to actually go buy him, you probably had to pay the price that they already viewed him as in that asset that they were holding him for to begin with. Meaning they were looking at Derrick Henry as, well, that's a guy that's going to sign somewhere. That's a guy that's going to be a usable running back. You have to buy me out of that price. Running backs are a perfect example for this because the equity in them is literally their opportunity. So you have to buy me out of the potential opportunity that I could be holding. But if you just kind of think about things that way, what does it take to buy from somebody? That is the real KTC price. That is the real actual market value of a player. What does it take for me to go to a team that wants this player and get them from that manager? You listen to a lot of other content out there, a lot of other podcasts, they'll feed you bullshit about go buy this player low. Go buy this player for the KTC price. And a lot of times they will be referencing a team that is quote unquote rebuilding, blowing it up. That team probably isn't the one that has Derrick Henry. That's not the team sitting on Joe Mixon. Most likely they already got rid of him. So you really have to think about when you're thinking about deals, who are you trading with? Then you get into deeper ideas about do they have a portfolio? Are they just trying to liquidate assets? I mean, how are they playing it from that perspective? But the idea is think about why players now are in demand and why other players have no demand. That is the biggest takeaway for me from free agency. So let's get into the actual moves. Hopefully I hit that point on the head over the last 10 minutes, but let's get into some actionable moves that I am taking right now. So three things that I am currently doing. I am going through my portfolio and looking at the receivers specifically that moved in free agency. So I already mentioned them. Deontay Johnson, Calvin Ridley, Marquise Brown, Gabe Davis. There's others that didn't move in free agency, but free agency movement impacted their values. Drake London, Christian Kirk, George Pickens. There's many others. You can think of a lot of examples where, hey, something that happened in free agency has changed their value, or more importantly, their buzz, their demand. Examine your shares of those players. I already mentioned 11 shares of Deontay Johnson. I have 8 shares of Calvin Ridley. I have 7 shares of Christian Kirk. Now, I'm not overweight on some of the other guys like George Pickens. I'm pretty fine with where I'm at on George Pickens. Keenan Allen, that's another one. I don't have a lot of Keenan Allen. Do people see Keenan Allen on the Bears as favorable? I don't think so. So looking at those and taking advantage of the guys, especially in that range, the Hollywood, the Deontay, the Calvin Ridley, the Christian Kirks, the Keenan Allens, those guys are past their prime. They are good assets. They are all good receivers. They are not coveted assets until now. They are coveted assets by somebody else when they move. And this is the only window. Sure, there's going to be next year's versions of Deontay Johnson and Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley and Marquise Brown. But the window to move them is now. And the biggest takeaway for people that are trying to diversify, and I'm probably, to be honest with everybody, probably more on the sell end of all of these players, A, because I have a lot of exposure to all of them, but B, only because this is probably the window that I can actually sell them. So the bigger picture here is take advantage of the window and understand that the window exists now because of the movement that happened over the last month or so. And it exists now at the price that you're probably uncomfortable selling at. You couldn't have sold those guys, even if you wanted to, over the last month, 2 months since the end of the season, because immediately you go, well, I know Christian Kirk's a good player, but there's just too much there in the Jacksonville offense for somebody to actually buy him high, especially Deontay Johnson or Hollywood Brown. No one really knew what to do with those guys. All of a sudden, there's a market for him. The mistake a lot of portfolio players make when they have players like that is now they want to sell for more than what they could have gotten a month ago. When the reality is, a month ago, they probably couldn't have got that much anyway. There wasn't many people even interested. So now you're like, man, I think I can maybe squeeze a first out of Hollywood Brown. No, don't hold out for a first. You want to try to get a 26 first for those guys? Try that. But getting greedy and saying, oh, man, I need the 109 now. I need a 25 first now. Probably not going to happen. So send the offer if you want. If you're trying to sell them, I'm always going to be an advocate of trying to sell at the price you want to start. But realize if your goal is to divest exposure to some of these guys, and the running backs are a whole different story. I'll get to that in a second. But if your goal is to divest exposure from these guys that have had very recent movement, you need to really examine the price that the other person is willing to buy for. Not the inflated price that you want them to buy for, but the price that is probably around what they might have paid previously or what you would have expected previously. Not the inflated price now. Oh man, Deontay Johnson's 30% better today than he was last week. He's not. So think about that. And we'll get to the running backs now with guys like Jacobs and Saquon and Mixon and Derrick Henry. There's a ton of them. DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, a ton that moved in free agency. For me, I'm looking through going, which ones do I have too much exposure to? Which ones can I look at my roster construction and say, okay, who are the anchor running backs I'm willing to bet can be an anchor on a team? When I mean anchor, guys with top 8 ranges of outcomes or higher, top 6. I don't know how many are there in this free agency. Maybe Saquon, maybe Derrick Henry, maybe Josh Jacobs. They've all done it before. Do I want to bet on it again? Probably not. But I want to examine my teams where I go, I have too many of those guys. I have one specific team where I just landed pure. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon. All 3 of them. That's a team I should probably take advantage of the window, the newly found dynasty value or newly found dynasty demand for all of them. I don't want all 3 on one team. Liquidate. Remove some of that risk. And I look at this team, and it's a team that has a little bit of a point per carry to it, and it's a very good team. Here's the thing. It's very good, which means I don't need all of those guys. So examine your roster construction between now and the start of the season and look for all of these players that have renewed excitement, renewed demand. They've been talked about. You tune into a random dynasty podcast, they will give you their opinion on Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. They will weigh in on their thoughts on how much Derrick Henry can smash in Baltimore. They will talk to you about how Joe Mixon landed on his feet and might even be in a better situation in Houston. Take advantage of the fact that those players are now on the radar. And it applies to everybody else you can think of too. Zach Moss, he's now a starter. Devin Singletary, he's now a starter. Zamir White, he's now a starter. Categorize those and figure out what you want to do if you have too much exposure. But when it comes to running backs, this is one of the few windows outside of in-season where they're producing. And the caveat could be in-season, they could also be injured or not producing. This is one of the few windows where teams will go, all right, I feel comfortable now. And some of that comfort may wane as we get closer to the season. I'm not as excited about Derrick Henry now. I'm not as excited about Saquon. But they're in the news. You may be able to sell them. So that's one of the first things I'm doing is I'm going through all of those trigger players that had some sort of significant movement. And some of them could be guys that went down. Tajay Spears, you still want to buy him? This is the time to do it. It wasn't before. But the idea is look for the players that have had movement. Movement means a change in supply or demand and focus on those. The second thing is going to be around my rookie picks. And I'm specifically looking in the range of 103, 104, 105, 106 in Superflex. Probably can exclude the 106 just because it's at the bottom of the tier. And I think a lot of people are probably like, well, if I have the 106, I'm either trying to move it up or I'm fine just sticking and picking where I'm at. But if we talk about the 103 through the 105, there's kind of been this lingering debate amongst the Destination Devi Heisman community about these picks over the last week or so. And I'm looking at my portfolio. I'm holding 3 picks at the 103 this year, 7 picks at the 104. So I have 7 shares of the 104. Across my leagues. So 7 shares. Think about that. 7 shares of the 104. And that's out of 43 leagues. It's quite a bit. It's almost 15% of that draft slot. And then I have 1 share of the 105. So combined between those 3, 11 shares out of 43 leagues. Now, I think it's important with this tier examining how the market has moved on the rookie receivers. If you go to Keep Trade Cut, I'm not going to go through the numbers right now, but go to the rookies this year. Look at the rise of almost all the rookie receivers that have even had good Senior Bowl, good pro days, good combine, anything positive. Look at the rise. All of them have risen. Since they came on in Keep Trade Cut, I believe in February is when they first came in as actual players, all of them are trending up. Most of them. All of the ones that are at the picks 103, 104, 105, 106 range. Neighbors, Adunze, they're all blowing up and moving up. And as you see the quarterbacks start to get nitpicked more because of the NFL draft, I mean, I'm not sure about Drake May. I'm a little worried about Jaden Daniels. Look at that sack to pressure ratio. J.J. McCarthy, I just don't know what to think about him. As you see these guys get nitpicked, you start to examine the quarterback landscape a little more. You start to get visions of Bryce Young. Ah, man, that sucks. Justin Fields. Jaden Daniels, Justin Fields. So you're starting to see people pull back a little bit. It's becoming more of a consensus out there. Man, you know what? If I had to pick today at the 103 and Malik Nabers is going in the top five, hell, according to Dane Brugler, he could be the number one receiver off the board. Why am I picking Drake May over him? Why am I picking even Jaden Daniels over him? I'm just going to go with the receiver because we've seen receivers. I already mentioned a guy earlier, Drake London, Garrett Wilson. They can survive good enough play by them. So think about the stuff, the wide receiver shit, like Ray likes to say. Good Trinity scores, bad situations, they survive. They can survive for multiple years with a high market demand and market value, especially if you can point to their situation and say, that's why they're not doing great. That's why they're not splashing. Malik Nabers goes to a bad situation. He puts up 80 for 1,000. People will go, it's a bad situation. Imagine if he had a good team, he would smash, which means he will hold value. He will hold demand. We've seen quarterbacks, especially ones people had questions about, McCarthy, Drake May, even Jaden Daniels. All three of them, I think, are very volatile. If they don't step right up and play well and have positive buzz right off the rip, people are going to immediately start to park them in the, man, Jaden is the next Justin Fields. Drake May, I don't know what his ceiling is. Maybe he becomes Trevor Lawrence. J.J. McCarthy, gosh, I'm not even sure what he is. So just think about that narrative and go, if I was drafting today, go examine the teams that have those picks and truly look at what you want to do with those picks. Now, I'm speaking to a lot of the people that have those picks that are saying, I'm going to need to take a quarterback. The reason I value those picks so high, the reason I'm holding on to those picks as tight as I can is because I need a quarterback. But what else can you do with those picks? Can I go actually buy an elite quarterback? A deal I saw yesterday was somebody gave up the 104 and a 25 first to get Lamar Jackson. And I had to probe a little bit. Okay, why did we pay that much for one individual player? But the context was basically, I'm locked into a QB there, and I have a good enough team where I think I could contend. And it's a shallower league, so obviously the shallower the league, more likely you are to stack an asset on top of one of those high-end picks for a player. But the goal was basically, I hope Jaden Daniels falls to me at 104 so that I can draft him because I need a QB too. And I go, are you comfortable moving one of those picks to go try to get a quarterback that, you mean, you're not probably getting Patrick Mahomes. You're not getting Josh Allen. But I'll bet you dollars to donuts that a guy like Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts, maybe a Joe Burrow, are available. Inquire. But especially if you're shooting for like short-term upside and ceiling, and that's why you're selling yourself on Jaden Daniels, or you're shooting for some long-term stability, and that's why you're selling yourself on Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, why not go see what you can buy? So that's something I'm actively trying to do, is looking at my exposure. Now, there's some quarterbacks that I have a ton of already. I have a ton of Kyler Murray. I think he's a good example of one that if you would be willing to give up the 104, you might be able to get Kyler Murray plus. But I have a lot of him. I have a lot of Lamar Jackson. So those are two that I'm probably okay not doing this type of deal for. But the premise remains the same. before you are locked in on a rookie QB, go see what's out there in the veteran QB market. And you know what? If you can't find one of those elite QBs, I'm not opposed to just continuing to hammer the wide receiver value as well. Take Malik Nabers at 103. I mean, obviously do your due diligence with the pick, see if you can move back and navigate based on what your league is going to value, what the players around you that have those picks are going to want to use the pick on. But I don't think it's unfounded to just say, you know what? I feel safer with the wide receivers the way the current market is landing. And I don't think it's crazy because people have kind of taken the approach on QB, unless I'm getting an elite hammer QB, teams are much more likely just to say, I'm going to get by now at the quarterback position, and I'm going to look for bargain bin QBs without using massively high picks on risky situations like I think the QB 2, 3, and 4 are going to end up being in this class. And then the final point that I wanted to make is just go through and see what you can do to clean up your portfolio between now and the start of the season. One of the major things that I've done is, especially if I have leagues with waivers, I've gone through and seen, is there any new candidates that I can liquidate? Are there any running backs that moved up in the depth chart? Any receivers that maybe landed in a new spot? Again, these are not players that I'm really trying to get much for, but has it changed how I want to roster construct? There's been a bunch of movement at backup QB. Can I get some of those backup QBs in leagues where I'm stashing any QB on the two deep? Can I cut some of the ones I was holding last year? The Clayton Tunes, the CJ Beathards, the Kyle Allens, the Blaine Gabberts. There's a ton that are now probably looking at not being backups anymore. Free up those roster spots. See what you can creatively do to acquire some of these guys that are now in pretty good backup situations. So fix that stuff. Don't go silent between now and the draft, because there's not a whole lot that's going to change. If anything, you want to be more active. You want to be engaging people that maybe have new takes on some players. You know, see what type of stuff you can move now that you couldn't have moved before. But the bottom tier in terms of cleaning up your rosters is super important, especially if you have waivers that are running, especially if you have players that are starting to get cut for people to make draft picks. It's important to kind of maximize that kind of stuff at the bottom. So pay attention to your roster construction. Make the small moves, and then some of the bigger moves I talked about with liquidating some of the players that have just hit free agency or just signed with new teams, and then also examining those top five picks, picks 3 through 5 specifically, if you're planning on drafting QBs. So with that, a longer episode this week, not super focused. I'm still trying to work through the kinks. I'll be a little more dialed in next week on things I'm specifically trying to do, like actual trades that I've sent out. I'll probably focus on that more over the next month or so. And then I did want to make an announcement. If you're catching it this far in, it means you're listening all the way through, almost 30 minutes in. Dynasty Portfolio Weekly is going to mix in Underdog Portfolio Weekly over the summer. Underdog is going to be a huge focus for me over the summer. I'll be max entering BBM5. Use the promo code DDD for our draft stream. Enter to win a bunch of good stuff on the draft stream, but sign up for Underdog if you don't already have an account. Use the code DDD to sign up there, and it'll enter you to win some prizes on the draft stream as well if you use that promo code. But I'm going to be doing an Underdog Portfolio Weekly every other week throughout the summer. So as soon as BBM5 opens, I'll be doing that. I'll be doing the Superflex tournaments. We'll be doing other content on Destination Devi YouTube channel with Underdog Drafting. But this will be once every other week for Dynasty Portfolio Weekly, and then once every other week for Underdog Portfolio Weekly. So they will flip-flop, same place, same time, but there'll be some Underdog mixing in. And I encourage everybody that plays Dynasty to listen to the Underdog shows as well, because even though it's not Dynasty, the reason I want to do this is because I'm taking on the challenge of max entering BBM5. Of max entering the Superflex tournament. That's going to be a lot of drafts that I'm going to be doing, but I'm doing it in a very methodical approach. The fascinating part for me, the reason I'm a dynasty portfolio player, is to manage a large portfolio in a big field of players, meaning there's some game theory There's roster construction. All that stuff is the most important thing. It's less about the players. It's more about the correlation and the range of outcomes that you're building across your portfolio when you're max entering such a big tournament. So I hope to hit on some of those things I'm thinking about from a portfolio perspective on the show. It won't be about the drafts. It won't be about ADP. It won't be about players. Just like Dynasty Portfolio Weekly is largely not about that stuff. It'll be about where I'm looking at gaps, where I'm looking to supplement, types of builds, ranges of players. So hopefully you find value in that and you can take some of the principles and the psychology and the game theory and take it to your Dynasty portfolio and play it that way. So check out that when it comes out. It'll be right when the underdog tournaments start to begin, the Superflex tournament and BBM5. So that'll come probably in May, most likely. End of April, early May is when that will launch on here. And with that, check out everything on Destination Devi, the YouTube channel, Dynasty Trades in 5, the YouTube channel, and obviously the podcast feed for Destination Devi Radio and Wake Up with Ray G. So with that, I will sign off for the week. Good luck starting to shift some of your portfolio assets between now and the draft, and we will be back next week. Be chill.